we're going to forego the theme song this week because there have been several DCMA copyright DMCA. My
apologies. The DNC?
The DM.
Donna Brazil has cracked down on you? What happened?
Yeah, Donna Brazil is all cracking. No, the Digital Millennium Copyright Act and all that stuff. There's some weird laws regarding music usage in podcasts because it counts as digital music redistribution. So we're just going to open cold.
All right. Well, we could sing it.
No, that was the cold open right there.
We just did our cold open.
It was me explaining the Digital Millennium Copyright Act.
No music. The Digital Millennium Copyright Act.
Yeah, there we go.
Right now people are like, oh, if this is the kind of show they're doing, I'm out.
And if they've ever heard us do anything before, they know that's not the kind of show we're
doing. I think that's going to be fascinating. Brian and Cody discussing some sort of regulatory body.
No, not going to talk. We might talk about our own bodies. And the things that have befallen us. But yes, this is podcast number two of season number two. Is this season two or three? We don't even have seasons. I just know I like that podcasters have seasons, like anybody's keeping track.
We could call it a season.
Sure. This would be episode two, season two, episode two.
This is the second year we've done that. We've done the podcast more than two. We've definitely done it 3 years.
Well, let's call it season three. And then prove us a liar. If we've only done it two, prove it. Who are you? You're the podcast cops? I don't believe it. Mm. All right, so season three, episode two, cold open.
Of the Brian and Cody podcast? The Brian Noonan Show podcast featuring Cody Goff.
Featuring Cody Goff.
Brian Noonan Show podcast.
Do you like it with or featuring?
I like...
Because both, I mean, both, you're equal part there. I mean, mm-hmm. I don't mind the terminology. I'll let you pick the terminology. With or featuring?
I mean, I usually... On the website, it just say Brian Noonan and Cody Goff talk whatever.
Well, sure, that's the description of the podcast. But
yeah,
that's
the title. The title is usually Brian Noonan and Cody Goff talk, and then what
else? Is
that
what it is?
Like, we talk politics or talk gun control
or talk the millennial digital media.
Digital Millennium Copyright Act.
Sure, that's that's going to be. Man, that's going to get a lot of hashtag the hell out of that one.
I almost
said S again. I'm feeling very S this season. Season three is where I go totally profane.
We'll call the season three the S word.
Yeah, that's it. So that's what we're doing in season three. We're just swearing and then making more work for you because you get to go edit it out.
I'll take shorts for 20.
Remember, I only like the beep. I don't like it edited out.
The beep is good.
The beep is anytime I swear, I want the beep. I'm not going to swear.
I cut out the entire thing in the last one just because then we talk about it for like a minute and it's not that interesting.
Yeah, no, it's not.
So I just removed
it. No, that's fine.
But normally I'm a beep proponent.
Yes. You and I are on the same page. So it's a Brian Noonan Show podcast, Brian Cody, but whatever. Who knows? People know who we are. People like the last one. They were very excited. Season 3, episode 1, the big wedding extravaganza. That was fantastic. How do we follow up on that? Probably can't. We should just wrap it up now.
Cam, thanks for joining us.
Thank you. Thank you for being here. Yes, we fear failure. All right, where do we... There's a lot to get to.
Is there?
Yeah.
I brought nothing.
I've got things. I've got enhanced screening. I'll give you kind of an overview. Enhanced screening at Midway Airport. Me overdoing it a little post-surgery in New Orleans. My daughter once again turning on me and then flipping the script based on a project that I am undergoing or involved with that started in New Orleans this week. Hold on.
Uh-oh. Getting the cough button there. Well, I already vote that we do some of the follow-up on the your daughter stuff, because that was kind of a follow-up from last week.
Right, and we also should, now you've been married a couple of weeks.
Almost three weeks already.
Is the bloom off the rose yet? Everything's still good?
All I'm getting used to is the ring.
That's tough.
And you don't wear yours because you lost so much weight and it won't fit anymore.
Yeah, first of all, I was never a jewelry guy.
Well,
but when I got married, some guys are. Some guys Liberace, other guys like that. A lot of rings, a lot of bracelets, a lot of necklaces. You've seen the guy. You've watched The Sopranos. There's a lot of guys who like necklaces and jewelry.
No, I'm actually so wrong about that. The diamonds on my wife's ring are from one of my grandfather's rings.
My grandfather used to wear a pinky ring and some other rings. And mm-hmm. for a while, my brother, one of my brothers wore a pinky ring, which, as you can imagine, met with nothing but ridicule from the other four of us. Mm-hmm. his girlfriend at the time gave it to him, and he was like, oh, yeah, wear this pinky ring. The relationship ended, so did the pinky ring.
Ooh.
He was as married to the pinky ring as he was with this girl. They weren't married, but...
Girls try to get me to paint my nails.
What?
I don't know.
Like get a manicure?
No, just paint my nails. Like, oh, can I paint your nails?
Like a color?
Yeah. Like, they thought it'd be so funny and whatever. I thought it was just a way they wanted to try to emasculate me. I always said no. I'm like, no, that's stupid, and you're never doing that, and we're breaking up.
That was a good move.
Thank you.
A long time, my wife wanted me to get me a chain, like a gold chain.
Wait, like Mr. T?
Well, I don't know if it was that big. It was somewhere between Flava Flav and a nice, delicate chain. Like for Christmas, she'd go, do you want a gold chain? I was like, no. Next year, hey, would you like a gold chain? Nope. Finally, after a few years, she realized, I don't want a gold chain. I'm never going to wear a gold chain. I have, in the past few months, begun wearing a mood dragon occasionally. I got at the zoo on a leather strap. It's a little mood dragon. And Debbie says, let me see that mood dragon. It's always black. Honest to God, the mood, it's not black when I put it on. I put it on and it's a light blue, like the backdrop, the screensaver on Windows. It's that nice oceany blue. I put it on. I wear the dragon for an hour or so. Black. Black as night.
Wow.
So my mood, I guess that... Does that surprise you that my mood would always be black?
Was this chain supposed to have a cross on it?
No, it could be. It could be just a chain, like a rope, a gold rope. It could have. I guess theoretically, it could have had anything I wanted on it. Could have had a cross. Could have had a clock. Could have had Mr. T's face.
I'm really lost.
Could have had a pistol
on this whole thing. The whole gold chain.
And I have some friends who are gold chain guys. Even when I was in Catholic school, I never wore a scapular around my neck.
A scalpel?
That's
for surgeons.
I know. A scapular. It's a little religious icon that's rolled up. It's like a leather thing. I don't know. It's kind of like the same strap my mood dragon is on.
Like a scroll?
Yeah, a little scrolly thing with holy stuff.
You know more about gold chains than I ever thought.
I know a lot about too many things. I know a little about a lot of things.
Right.
We'll put it that way.
Dilettantes.
Yes. So how'd we get on the chain?
So you asked me about marriage.
The jewelry. The jewelry. So you're having trouble with the ring just because you're not used to wearing a ring?
There's days I'm okay with it. There's days I constantly fidget with it.
Are those the days chicks are hitting on you? And you're like, oh, this ring is like a ball and chain. It's a prison sentence.
I've been told by my younger married friends that when they start wearing a ring to a bar, girls will just start hitting on them nonstop.
I've heard that as well. When I was young and married, I was also, ginormous, but but no, I don't. I know there are some that bears out in some cases.
I've never had this happen.
Well, how many bars have you been to since you've been married?
Just a couple.
By yourself?
No.
No. See, go out by yourself.
All right.
Maybe we go see Chicago.
Let's go see Chicago.
Let's go see Chicago. We'll go hobnob. Maybe we go clubbing. Do you know any raves?
I'm going to 2 raves this weekend.
You are lying.
No, I'm serious. Well, not raves, but I'm going to 2 EDM shows.
Ugh.
I'm going to one at the first ward at Chop Shop in Wicker Park, which is apparently a new venue a couple years old.
This sounds very frightening.
And then
I'm
going to UIC Pavilion Saturday. Of course, by the time this podcast is posted, I will have been to both shows.
And we'll be talking about it on the terrestrial show.
Right.
How long do these, is this regular concert length, or do they open the doors at the UIC Pavilion on a Saturday and then you leave like Monday at 6 a.m.?
No, they're just probably 3-4 hour shows, with the openers.
Of the same thumping, boom, 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 boom.
But they're like chill step downbeat. So Saturday we're seeing Odessa.
Odessa.
Yeah, they've been, you don't know who they are. They have been advertising everywhere, so I wasn't sure if you'd see the signs. But no, it's just like really chill. Chill step. I don't even know. There's so many different
chill
steps.
Step,
there's
dub step.
There's like chill step, dub step, trance step, crank step. Like there's like 1,000 different steps, and they all mean a different thing. And there's no such thing as musical genres anymore.
It sounds very confusing to me.
Yeah, exactly.
And there's no instruments, right? It's just a dude on an iPod.
Supposedly, he brings out like a bunch of violinists and a drum line, and it's like a whole production.
Okay.
I don't know.
But everybody's so high on X, they don't even know what they're doing.
Yeah, we'll see. I don't know. Right. I don't know what quality at Molly I'm going to find at
good
this.
Good luck with it. Well, I'm guessing if you're, hanging around outside, you could probably find some good Molly.
Probably
at an EDM show? Sure, everybody. And don't they share, right? Because they're all on pacifiers and they're feeling all lovey-dovey.
I think they share chewing gum because I've seen a lot of those exchanged at these shows. But Molly itself is like 20 or 30 bucks a pill, I think.
Is that right?
I think it's pretty expensive
stuff. I haven't bought Molly in ever.
This whole story is a seamless transition into your story about.
Well, about Molly, but let's finish up. So, are you telling your wife that your ring is making you fidgety?
Mrs. Cody? It's fine.
Mrs. Cody's wife getting, she's starting to wonder.
Casey is fine with.
So we can say her name now?
Well, she was on the last episode.
I know, but I still am not comfortable outing anyone. I'm not doxing anybody audio-wise.
I think she'll be all right. I will tell you, the sweetest thing about the entire thing is all the name change stuff.
Yeah.
Like, when I start to see her with, like, my last name,
yeah.
It feels... That's really
it's legit. She's now your property. No, that didn't come out right. Don't save your letters. We're teasing. I'm teasing. Cody's not. But I am teasing.
Your wife took your last name
sure
too,
she did.
Right? And when that happened, didn't you? Because that's to me,
it's a big deal.
Feels like oh my God, this person was willing to do this.
Yeah, I mean, not only she took my name, she converted.
To what?
From Lutheran to Catholicism.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it was a big deal. I don't know. I don't know what she was thinking. She obviously wanted to be with me and stuck around. But a lot of that has to do with good rope. Mm. So that's how you keep them. Nice, tight knots.
Sure.
I just know in this climate that we're in now.
People can tweet with 280 characters at you now.
I know. And I don't need 140 characters to tweet back a finger emoji. I just need one click.
How has your life changed with Twitter doubling the tweets?
To be honest, I don't need 280 characters. I like the 140. I'm not one of these people who are all up in arms. It doesn't affect me one way or another. There were a couple times where I was like, oh, I need to change one word because I was, three characters over. Contrary to what it seems here, I am able to get my point across concisely. There's time when I need to. When I don't need to, I enjoy rambling. But when I have to be concise, I can be concise. So 140 is fine. 280, I guess. I don't know how I'll fill it, but maybe I do. How do you? You're more of a social networker, on the cusp of covering all that stuff. I just use it because I'm a goof, but.
You know what's kind of funny is the optimum length, if you want to get someone yes. to read your message and click on stuff, the optimum length for Facebook is between 60 and 100 characters.
Is that right?
And for Twitter, it's about the same. So even though they're making it longer, brands and anybody that's following best practices should still keep it under the 140.
Because people don't have the attention spans. That's why That's why anything with a picture does better than anything with just text.
Correct.
Because people are like, oh, picture. And that's how they sound when they do it. Picture.
Look how savvy you are.
Listen, I'm all about protecting the brand.
Oh, yeah.
And then when I say that, I want to punch myself in the face. I heard somebody use that term the other day, and I was like, what a tool. Oh, I'm doing the, it was somebody I follow on Instagram, and she was doing the story. I don't do the stories on Instagram, the videos. Oh, I don't do the, I'll just post some pictures. But she was looking at a display in a store. And was talking about how it not liking it was kind of against her brand. And I'm like, what? I know who you are. You're kind of a twit. I don't your brand. I've got to worry about everybody's worried about their brand. I don't know. I worry about the show because I like the show and I think the show is worthwhile. But when I call it my brand, it's because I'm being a pretentious ass. Mm-hmm. It's not because I really believe that I have a brand. Here's what we do. We hope you like it. That's kind of why I do what I do on social media, which got me in trouble this weekend in New Orleans.
Nice transition, Brian.
Thank you, Cody. Even when we're not terrestrial, I still stick to the formatics. I like to blend it.
One can always transition.
Sure, we can always transition. Well, sure.
In any way.
And God bless them. God bless all people who transition or all transitions on the radio or any sort of transition.
The transitions that now hold office in Alabama or Virginia or wherever. You sure about that?
Oh, a transgender woman was elected in Virginia.
Something in Virginia.
Yes, in Virginia.
Yeah. I believe this transgender person beat a legislator who had written anti-transgender legislation.
Yes, he was the one who wrote the bathroom bill.
Oh, wow.
She beat the guy. I guess I'm saying, and believe me, if I'm using pronouns incorrectly, it is not
we're gonna
meant as offense.
Yeah, because you heard me say, yes, I don't have any idea.
Right, so I'm not downplaying this person at all by if in fact I did misuse a pronoun, which I don't think I did.
Let's use a they them.
All right, they. So this newly elected official beat the dude who wrote the bathroom bill that was against transgender people using bathrooms. So good, haha, you lose. Hate loses. That's great.
Very poetic justice-y.
It is. It is. Would it be ironic? Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, that's
irony.
To the ninth degree.
Mm-hmm.
Hold on. I just got a text from Alanis Morissette. Yep, it is ironic. she was just clarifying. What? She has my number.
Alanis Morissette?
Alanis Morissette.
Alanis Morissette.
I say Alanis.
Oh, all right.
I like a more continental pronunciation.
Oh.
As opposed to your hard Chicago, Alanis Morissette. What are you going to call a sports show next? I tell you what, the Bears and Dick should still be here. I understand what you like to
do. The problem with the linemen is that they're not running with the ball.
That's every sports show.
That's every sports show. Mitchell Trubisky should have started first game.
It's like,
get up off your knees, NFL players. Stupid hate America. Really?
Oh, man.
All right, where do we start?
Let's avoid politics.
Do we start with enhanced screening, or do we start with the social media?
I want to know what happened with Flat Molly, because I saw three Flat Molly posts
and then
on
there was
Facebook.
Oh, and then Flat Molly got the plug pulled. Here's a little backstory. So we go, last weekend, my wife and I went to New Orleans, my second favorite city in America. Somebody said, what's the other favorite city? Chicago, duh. Somebody actually asked me, what's the other favorite city? I don't know, Prague. So we go to New Orleans, which is always a treat, even because people were asking, my wife too, are you going to be okay? Because this is a week past surgery. And, you know, when you have surgery and your gallbladder, your stomach, going to a place where you know you're going to be eating rich, spicy food and drinking copious amounts of liquor may be questionable. But we were going because it was family weekend, and they lump family weekend and homecoming and all the reunions in together, which is nice. And it's Molly's senior year, despite the fact that she is not there. She is currently, as we record this, she is in New York City at the Apollo Theater working on the Conan O'Brien show. Texted me yesterday, sidebar, I just shook President Clinton's hand. I was like, wow, that was very cool. Plus, she sent a picture of her rubbing the stump at the Apollo, the historic stump.
Wow.
From the Tree of Hope that's right on the stage. Everybody from Billie Holiday to Beyonce, anybody who's ever performed at the Apollo has rubbed that stump.
Wow.
So it was very cool. Well, Molly, first of all, thought it was weird that we were going to family weekend without her. And I explained, well, we had all our reservations, you know, the plane tickets, the hotel, all of that. And then we thought, well, it's kind of our last family weekend, too. And we love going down there. We don't really need an excuse. So we decide we're going to go. And I came up with the idea of creating a Flat Molly, which is a takeoff of Flat Stanley that anybody who has kids in grade school, you know about Flat Stanley. It's a little paper doll guy, nondescript Flat Stanley is. And you take them around, and you photograph Flat Stanley everywhere. So when Molly was in school, I just told you this story off the air.
I think you might have told it on the last show, but I don't remember.
Anyway.
When you were recovering from gallbladder surgery
yes.
And you couldn't move and you had nothing to do.
I made Flat Molly.
You made a Flat Stanley, and you put
Molly's face on it. And a Tulane logo on the T-shirt, and I colored it all Tulane colors. It was very nice. So we go, and my plan was, all right, we'll take Flat Molly to family weekend, and we'll photograph her in all the haunts of family weekend. So we get off the plane, click Flat Molly under the Welcome to New Orleans sign at the airport. Flat Molly in the hotel. Then it comes to Friday, we're going to campus to register for homecoming weekend and stuff, and we brought Flat Molly. So we took her by her old dorm, and we took Flat Molly outside her old dorm and outside the dining hall, and we took Flat Molly at the business school and the student center and all these places. And people would see it, and they would laugh, and they're like, oh, that's such a fun idea. So the food truck on campus, we took it with the food truck, and then the driver was like, oh, can I take a picture with Flat Molly? So we got a picture of the food truck driver with Flat Molly. Then Friday night, we went to this beautiful fundraiser for the Emeril Lagasse Foundation, Boudin, Bourbon, and Beer. It was in Champion Square outside the Superdome. Like 70 chefs all doing crazy things with pork and Boudin sausage. Abita Beer was the beer sponsor, so it was all not only their regular beers, but all these unusual cask beers that they don't sell that were just phenomenal. Buffalo Trace was the bourbon. There were cigars, desserts. Obviously, not probably the best move for a guy who just had stomach surgery, but delicious. So Flat Molly got a picture with Emeril Lagasse, not the real one, but a cutout of Emeril. Flat Molly got a picture with the 6'10 Stompers, who are this group of guys in satin jackets and sweatbands and shorts that go on. They're in every parade. They're just out of their minds. They're like this weird average guy dance crew that's in every parade in New Orleans. And they were walking by. We're like, hey, 610 Stompers. And as soon as they saw it, a couple of the guys were like, oh, I know that. My kid does that thing. So we got her with that. And along the way, I posted a couple pictures. It wasn't until Saturday when we go to campus for the tailgates and stuff. And we had stopped by Molly's house, her apartment, because we had been talking. She had picked something up for us that we needed to pick up. And her roommate knew that we were going to call, and we texted her on Friday. So there are plenty of time. Hey, what's good for you so we can come over? And she said, how about 10:30 Saturday morning? Okay, great, because we got to be on campus at 11. So we get to campus, we park, we walk over to Molly's house. Of course, we take a picture of Flat Molly outside real Molly's house. And then her roommate answers, and she's like, oh, the stuff's right here. We're like, oh, thanks. And I said, listen, or maybe Debbie did, whatever. We said, hey, we're doing this thing. Can we take a picture of you with Flat Molly? Okay, so we get the picture. And then Molly's room's right there. We said, we just want to poke our head in. Literally, we were in there 3 minutes. We took a picture of Flat Molly with Molly's, this monkey that I made Molly when she was like four. So I took a picture of Flat Molly with Molly the monkey, because she's very clever with the naming, and one with her sorority flag, and then we were out.
And as we've discussed, she doesn't have the most amount of privacy in her room anyway, because you have to walk
right
through her room to get to the only bathroom in the
yes,
apartment.
Yes, and to the other, to her roommate's room. So her room is kind of a throughway.
Right, it's not like a sealed
right
off.
And again, we were there 3 minutes. It wasn't like we were impinging on her roommate's privacy or any of that. The roommate knew we were coming. We had given her 24 hours. She picked the time. We showed up. We did what we had to do and we left. And then, of course, we're out. And I say to Debbie, because now Flat Molly's getting pictures everywhere. At the, we found she's in this Altman Scholars program. We found her advisor and two of her professors, and they all three took pictures with Flat Molly, and everybody thought it was hilarious. And I said to Debbie, the only thing better is if we see the university president. And I am going to ask Fitz if he will take a picture with Flat Molly.
I've been thinking about this the entire time.
Unbelievable. So the parents' tent is all the way at the end of the quad. And we're walking up to the parents' tent, and all of a sudden, because I've seen this guy's picture a million times. I've seen him speak. I know what the president looks like. And it doesn't hurt that he's wearing a blue shirt that has his name over his pocket and president across the back the back of his shirt.
Now, that's on brand.
That is, it's all about the brand.
Very branded.
Roll wave. Hashtag. I say to Debbie, I go, oh, that's Fitz. And he's as close to me basically as you are, except imagine a folding table between us. So his handlers are trying to kind of hustle him out.
He has handlers?
Well, yeah, of course he does. He's
wow.
The university president. Huh. So somebody from either his office or the PR office, I don't know, two people are walking around with him. And Debbie says to them, oh, are you trying to take a picture? They said, no, we're trying to get him out of here. And she said, can we take a quick picture? So I always work the camera because Debbie, for some reason, is like Ansel Adams when it comes to using an iPhone. She needs to frame it up and the lights and the shadows, and she has people come in with the foil reflectors. It turns into a whole – you can't take a quick picture. It's every time I'm standing there like if she's taking a picture of me, I'm like a mope for an hour and a half. I call in a stand-in to take a picture because it's like I'll be back. I'm going to go have a cup of coffee. I'll come back. So she quick explains, our daughter's a senior. She da-da-da-da-da. Will you take a picture? Sure. So the president of the university now holds up Flat Molly. Click. Perfect. That was like the white whale of Flat Molly pictures. So now I post that one because I think this is pretty funny.
I saw that one.
That Flat Molly could tailgate with anybody, but she chooses to tailgate with the Tulane president. That's pretty baller right there.
Yeah.
Okay. I get a text. A two-pronged text, because she had asked us to pick her up a sweatshirt.
Oh, boy.
She goes, did you get it? And I was like, yeah. Oh, I didn't tell you what size. And I'm thinking, well, we figured out what size. And then she goes, and I know this will upset you, but stop with the Flat Stanley. Everybody I know is calling me. Everybody who sees it is calling me saying, WTF, this is weird and creepy. You need to stop right now. And I was like, all I texted back was, okay. And it upset me because I was like, I can't believe she... For somebody who wants to be a comedy writer, no sense of humor.
Hmm.
And I didn't tag her in any of the pictures because I knew that would upset her, so I didn't tag her in any of them. I guess, from what I'm hearing, through back channels, one of her friends saw it on my page and forwarded a picture to her. And then she must have talked to her roommate, or her roommate somehow her roommate talked to her. But again, what Molly says and what may have been said to her, probably two different things. So I was upset, and Debbie was like, well, we're still taking the pictures. So I didn't post anymore, but I took a ton. Flat Molly was at Cape Hall. Flat Molly was all around the quarter.
Wow.
Flat Molly was on the ferry to Algiers Point. Flat Molly was at the Boot, which is the dive college bar that everybody drinks at. So Flat Molly was at Pat O'Brien's having a hurricane. Flat Molly was everywhere. And so now the project, I know she's not going to listen, even if she, the project is evolving. So it's turning into a bigger project than it originally was. But here's the rub, Cody. As I said, the last picture I posted on Facebook and on Instagram was the picture of Flat Molly with President Fitz. So later that night, I go onto Instagram and I see the little dot by the heart that says, hey, somebody has liked my picture. Who do you think liked the picture of Flat Molly with President Fitz?
Was it President Fitz?
No, but it was the Tulane Alumni Association. A couple other people did enjoy that picture.
Oh, all right.
Yeah.
Molly?
Yes. Molly. Who said it was weird and creepy that I had Flat Molly down in New Orleans? Suddenly, Flat Molly with President Fitz. Oh, I like that picture. That's a pretty good picture. I haven't spoken to her about it. But I was like, really? I just was like, ugh.
You two have the weirdest relationship.
Yeah, I don't.
You make it sound like everything you do annoys her.
Because it's true. Everything but one, I love her and I'm very proud of her. So I'll put that out there. But
you get along well. I mean, I've seen
yes,
her. I
went and to she her... calls me for advice, and I'm happy to help her in any way I can. But there's certain things like she forgets. I don't think she thinks I'm funny. Or maybe she does, but she does it begrudgingly. And she's also, I don't know, there's a whole weird psychology of like her not wanting to be funnier than me. And I'm like, you be as funny as you have to be. I don't judge myself against her. I want her to be as successful and funny as she possibly can be. So I don't know why she couldn't see. She's not a high school kid. She's a 21-year-old woman.
Right.
This isn't, it wasn't embarrassing. We weren't doing it to make fun of her. We were doing it because she couldn't be with us. And so this way she was with us, you know, and it's maybe she saw the picture with Fitz and thought, well, they made some effort, because you don't just get a picture with the university president without, you know, trying.
Right. Not at a school that size.
Right. It's like, okay. So I don't know why she liked it, but she did. So that was that. So, yes, Flat Molly was a hit with a lot of people. Many people found Flat Molly to be amazing and hilarious. Even the people who were taking pictures with Flat Molly. Or would you? We were somewhere. We stopped to get a praline. Or do you say praline?
I say praline.
I say praline too. But all the
who says praline?
Some of the people in New Orleans. A praline. Would you like a praline?
Well, they're French.
Maybe. Well, the people making them and selling them, I don't believe are French.
They might be.
They could be, but I'm guessing not.
French people come in all shapes and sizes.
That's true.
And so colors and accents. And,
I understand.
And height. Wait.
Really? Are you saying the French are a diverse people?
They wear clothing.
They do wear clothing.
Different varietals.
Really? I thought it was just striped shirts and berets.
Some are different ages.
Yes, sure. You think a lot are in New Orleans making pralines?
Yeah, I think they are.
Well, for sake of argument, it was a French person. I don't know. Right. Making a praline. We decided we would get one on our way to, because we wanted to take Molly to Algiers Point. So we had to get her on the ferry to get a nice picture of the skyline of New Orleans with Flat Molly. And the woman who was selling us the praline or praline saw it. Debbie had it in her hand. She's like, oh, what's that you got there? And Debbie said, oh, it's this thing. Oh, that's so hilarious. Can I take a picture with her? So the woman selling the pralines took a picture holding up a little praline to Flat Molly's mouth. So everybody seemed to like it. The Tulane firefighters that we took pictures with. The just about everybody. everybody but Molly. Well, loved it. But that's all right. Someday, when I'm dead... I keep banking a lot on one. Man, my death is going to hopefully hold a lot of things, because I'm banking on a lot of appreciation when I'm gone.
Yeah.
Because I'm not getting it now. I'm going to tell you that much right here.
Yeah, you'll be like Tim Ferriss's mornings.
Tim Ferriss
is a guy that does podcasts, and he does all these life hacks, and he'll read sponsors. My coworkers make fun of him all the time because every day he'll bring in a sponsor. He'll be like, "This nutritional thing. Every morning when I get up, I do this." And the next episode, it'll be like, "I get this notebook and I write in it. I write a page every day. I wrote it every morning when I do this." So there's like 18 things, and if you do the math, Tim Ferriss spends like 9 hours a morning.
Oh my
gosh. As soon as he wakes up, just doing random stuff.
He's very busy.
Yeah, I know.
I'm not that busy.
So that's gonna be like when you die.
When I'm dead,
gonna be like 90 years of stuff will happen in like a month.
My appreciation, I hope, will equal the Michael Jackson sales after death.
Wow.
I want that much appreciation in my death as Michael Jackson has album sales in his death. Or wow. Tupac or Elvis. You insert your favorite recording artist here.
Dead recording artist.
Dead recording artist. Sure. Right. They're dead recording artists. So that was that with the Flat Molly. But I'll tell you, the more I did it, the more proud I was of it. And it was just everywhere.
I think it's cute.
Thank you. I don't, you know, again, it was not meant as an embarrassing thing. And I don't think most people would be embarrassed. Most adults. Which I count her as an adult at 21.
It does depend.
I guess.
And sometimes my parents have done, you know, they'll do a random goofy thing when they're traveling sometimes.
Yeah.
And I always think it's funny.
Yeah.
And for me, you always do goofy stuff. But for
that's true.
I see them or other parents or whatever doing something kind of goofy on a trip. And I'm like, oh, that's like kind of goofy. And it's usually funny to me.
Yeah, it should be. I mean, it was meant for fun. And we're allowed to have fun.
Yeah.
You know, and I have to, just in case she was listening, there was no malice.
But I think we
meant
got that.
By flat
we got that.
Well, did you get that? Other people are going to, you know, hound me.
Of
I don't
course.
Care.
Is
I don't
she
care.
On Twitter?
It's unbelievable. Is Molly on Twitter?
Yeah.
I don't believe so. Maybe she is. She doesn't tweet actively, or I don't follow her.
All right.
I do follow her on other platforms.
Right. Instagram, Facebook.
Instagram, Facebook.
She's probably on Snapchat.
She's probably on a lot of things that I don't know about. Tinder. I don't know.
A lot of millennials are on Snapchat.
Is that right?
Yeah.
I have a Snapchat account. I've posted zero pictures to Snapchat.
Yeah,
I don't understand.
I check it once in a while. I don't understand the appeal.
Because everything's just there and gone, right?
Uh-huh.
And once, I know they were doing Snapchat stories, but once Instagram started doing those stories too.
And Facebook.
And Facebook has them. Everybody's got the videos and stuff. It's like,
Yeah, I don't really know.
So, all right. So now we've covered Twitter with the 280. We've covered your ring situation. We've covered Flat Molly.
Yeah. We've mostly covered, Twitter. Twitter, have you been spending a lot of time on there lately?
I have. You know what? And you know, in years past, I was not a Twitter guy. I mean, I had a Twitter account, and I would tweet occasionally, mostly about the show, or I would retweet some stuff here and there. Now, every morning, honest to God, every morning while I'm eating my yogurt, I go through Twitter, and I read my Twitter feed for a while.
Yeah.
And it's all the same, every day, same kind of thing. A couple goofy videos, a lot of anti-Trump stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And just some sports, because I, you know, from my sports show days, I still follow some sports people. So there'll be a couple sports tweets. But yeah, so I do read it, but it's, I got to say, not a fan of them verifying the white supremacist from Charlottesville.
Oh, they did?
Oh, yes. It has been a huge thing. He is now a verified account. And so a lot of people in an uproar about that, and rightfully so, I believe. Michael Ian Black, you know, the comedian actor who has like 2 million followers or something, wrote a big screed. Now he has 280 characters to do it.
Oh, great.
Talking about how, you know, Twitter, you need to reevaluate what you're doing. You know, I'm an active Twitter user with a lot of followers, and, you know, we don't like the fact that you're verifying this hate group. And they're, you know, because they're notorious about editing stuff and banning stuff and, you know, calling out tweets that they deem inappropriate. And yet, and I understand free speech, but this is not free speech. That white supremacist has a right to talk and preach his nonsense. Twitter is a private company. They don't have to grant him access.
Right.
You know, well, they don't have to verify him. Because we all know in this day and age, if that little blue check mark is next to you, that... It means something, I guess, to some people. Some people take. Somebody said to me last week, "Oh, I saw you were verified. That's how I knew, you know, you were the real deal." I was like, "Okay."
Oh, it's a running joke on the Gonna Geek Network, podcast network I'm on, that I'm verified on Twitter, and they always call me Verified Cody Goff.
Verified Cody Goff.
They constantly, like when I'm on the GonnaGeek.com podcast, they say, "And now Verify Cody Goff's our guest." I mean, it's their whole thing. They call me that all the time.
Well, because it does. It carries a little cachet.
It does. It does.
Especially for the people who whine constantly about not being verified.
Yeah.
Oh, why can't I get verified? I don't know.
Yeah, to me, the line is not clear what the role is.
I don't know it either.
It's really hard. And I think the line is pushed far too liberally in lots of places. Like
the line you mean the is line the line of verifying or what you're allowed to post?
Free speech, just what you allow to be said and who allows you to say it. Like, there's universities that are shutting down, you know, student protests, shutting down this conservative can't come to our campus.
That is a huge mistake.
That's a huge mistake.
Huge mistake.
The whole, like, idea of education is be presented lots of ideas, learn how
figure
to critically think for yourself and process it.
Yes.
And places like Berkeley that are, like, shutting down conservative speakers, that's you're creating an echo chamber, and that's not what the real world is.
No, it's definitely not. And that's why people come out and everything offends them and every idea scares them that's not like their own ideas.
Mm-hmm.
And so I agree with you about the line, because my point of Twitter, you know, you can allow this guy on there if that's what you want to do. But by verifying him, you've elevated him to a certain status, whether real or perceived. And for the most part, we know it's a perceived status.
Mm-hmm.
But now they have it. So you are inadvertently supporting this mindset.
Yeah.
Whether you believe you are or not.
I mean, I'm not familiar with this particular individual, so I don't know how radical his stuff is. If he's tweeting, like, let's lynch this group of people, like, clearly not okay.
He organized the Charlottesville stuff.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
See, that's not good.
No.
But I don't know what he's saying. And there is a question of, like, you know, where does that line draw? Because, like, Breitbart is verified on Twitter.
Right.
Some of its reporters are. Some of them say toxic stuff, and that's bad. But then, again, there's, like, a whole subsection of society that listens to them and follows them, and, like, that's their viewpoint.
Right. And I'm not saying to ban him from Twitter.
Right.
I'm not saying to keep people off campus. I'm saying Twitter has a responsibility. And maybe they've exercised their responsibility. Maybe they don't, you know, if he met the criterion that it, whatever the criteria are to be verified, hey, listen, we verify anybody who meets these criteria.
Yeah.
We don't monitor, but you do what people are tweeting.
They do pretty selectively.
Yeah.
I mean, when they banned Milo, that was a huge news thing.
Right.
So, you know, Milo Yiannopoulos was this writer for Breitbart, and he said some really extreme stuff.
Yeah.
And
crazy.
Arguably, let's say allegedly harassed certain celebrities. Mm-hmm. Some argue it was his followers. Some argue it wasn't him. Some argue he provoked it. Whatever. It doesn't matter. But whatever. Twitter perceived his role as active and banned him. And it was a huge deal. He had hundreds of thousands of followers. Mm-hmm. It was a very influential voice. So, they do exercise it sometimes. But, yeah, there's no rhyme or reason, really, to it.
But your points about the campus are well made, too, because this is – we're sheltering people way too much. We can't live in bubbles. You don't have to like everything that's said. You can be offended. You can be scared. You can agree. You can disagree. But for a university, especially these progressive, quote-unquote, universities, you know, these hotbeds of free thought. Well, sure, there are hotbeds of free thought unless the thought is not what you like to think.
Yeah.
And, okay, let's say the administration is like, well, we don't want to we want to avoid any sort of rioting. We want to keep the campus safe. All right, then you know what? You hire some extra security.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you do your best to, and maybe, so maybe you've got somebody talking on one side of campus that has this message. People don't agree with it. Have a speaker on the other side of campus, you know, or have a speaker the next week to counterpoint what this person
and
talked about.
And teach these kids free speech.
Right.
You're the administration. You're the adults. Be adults. Take the responsibility. Because when they get in the real world, it's not like every time we have a conservative president, a Berkeley riot can jump out on a mass scale. There were riots. Like, they were flipping cars and stuff over some of these speakers at Berkeley.
Yeah.
I mean, this is months ago, but, you know.
Yeah, right. But it's the same thing. There was something – I was listening to Howard Stern. And he was talking about seeing a piece where a high percentage of millennials were willing to give up the free press in order to be more secure. And I'm like, what are you talking about?
Wow.
How can you even begin to think that that's a good idea? Well, we'll just let the government tell us what to do. Free press, that's a lot of hassle. I would rather just listen to the big brother, and he'll keep me safe.
Wow.
Yeah, millennials, really, smack in the back of the head.
Wow.
It is, no, this is, well, it, you know, now everybody, it's, you know, the fake news. Everything is nonstop. So it's a, we're afraid of ideas, we're afraid of free speech, we don't understand free speech, people don't understand the First Amendment, so they throw it around willy-nilly. They don't understand that, yes, you can say it, but that doesn't mean you're free of consequences.
Right.
Free speech doesn't mean free of consequences. So people don't, oh, he offends me. Okay, then speak out against him, or her, or them, or whoever offends you. And also, maybe look in the mirror and wonder, why does that offend me? You know, why does a paper doll in a Tulane t-shirt offend me? I don't know. Why does standing in line for a half hour during enhanced screening because I had some Halloween candy in my backpack?
Dude, the TSA is the worst government organization.
The TSA organization is a very loose term. These are just random people in rented uniforms.
I'm sorry if you're listening and you work for the TSA, but I hate the TSA so much.
It was,
You want to talk about giving up freedoms for a little bit of security?
Yeah, how
about the freedom
it?
To travel in any degree of comfort?
How about the freedom of me to take a couple bite-sized Snickers with me to New Orleans?
They made him take it out of the bag?
Cody, we're going in. So Thursday, we get to the airport. Now, we get to the airport 2 hours ahead of time because I know that the line, Midway is notorious for slow TSA.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I haven't flown out of Midway in
now. The last
2 years.
Couple times, I will say though, the last couple times I've flown out of Midway, boom, I'm right through. Hello, Shoes off, belt off, the whole nine. So we come down, and the line we were in was stopped, and it looked like this other line was moving. So we go over there. All of a sudden, and now they've started a new thing. In case you're traveling now, you used to be able to leave like your iPad and stuff in your backpack or your luggage. Not anymore. Any tablet, any electronic device has to come out.
Wow.
So I knew that, and I've got my iPad out. I've got my shoes off, my belt off, nothing in my pockets. All of a sudden, two people in front of me, they pull somebody out. The line is stopped. They're looking at the TSA person working the X-ray is, you would have thought, and I'm glad it to us, they're really paying attention. So Debbie's stuff goes through. My stuff goes through, except only the tub that has my shoes and my iPad come through. My backpack does not come through. And I look, and there's my backpack pulled out and sitting next to the TSA agents. Now, there's a guy in front of me who's had the same situation, and he's livid because he's been waiting about 15 minutes, and his flight is leaving in 10 minutes. In front of him is a woman. Older woman, I'm going to say Asian only because I think it bears out the story. She is standing there, and they have her bag completely open, and the big X-ray picture is up above it. They're pulling things out. She had a salad they pulled out. She had a bag of powder with some sort of spice or seasoning that she had made. Long story short, they were waiting for the bomb tech to come for this woman's salad and spices. Now, it's by the time I find, so I'm irate because now we're waiting and we're at a standstill. Nothing can move because this screening center with this X-ray is connected with this line, so nobody can move. And now not only am I standing there, everybody behind me. This now is stretched all the way back because this line is stopped because this woman had the audacity to bring a salad and some spice. And you know me and patience. We don't. I like the song from Guns N' Roses. That's as far as we go.
Yeah.
The dragon, coal black, the mood dragon, not happy.
You were able to get the mood dragon through TSA?
The mood dragon came through with the iPad.
All right.
So the mood dragon was through. But we're waiting, and the guy in front of me keeps asking, hey, is there any way we can just, you can look at my bag? My flight's leaving. And now I'm steaming. Because the woman, the supervisor, air quotes, like, no, sir, we can't. We got to go one bag at a time. We got to go in order. And he's like, oh, and we're waiting and waiting. And now I'm like, is there anybody else nope, we're waiting for the bomb techs. So, and I keep looking back, and Debbie's through. So she's looking at me, and she sees, and in my mind, I'm like, don't lose your mind, because they're going to arrest you. So you got to maintain your composure. But under my breath, I'm like, 3D. So finally, after like 20 minutes, the bomb tech comes over. And he's looking through this stuff, and they're swabbing everything in this woman's bag. And she's got to feel awful, because now there's a line again, stretching all the way back.
Where was the bomb tech?
I don't know, because
there's only one security point at Midway.
Well, there's one area, but there's two, like, a screening. There's the main one, and then there's one down a little further for the pre-check.
It's not 20 minutes away.
No, it's 20 yards away.
Midway is not a huge airport.
Nope.
If you've never flown out of Midway, it's not like O'Hare.
There's two terminals, but everybody comes funneling through the one security area.
Yeah.
Basically. As I said, a couple belts for the pre-checks, but that's it. Then the supervisor has the audacity to tell the guy in front of me, this is why we tell everybody to get to the airport 2 hours and 45 minutes before their flight.
Are you kidding me?
Nope. And the guy's like, who the hell's getting here 2 hours and 45 minutes before their flight? And I'm like, well, I got here 2 hours, and that should have been more than enough for me to go through, have dinner and a couple of drinks, and then get on the plane. So they swab this woman's everything, and they're asking her about this powder. She's like, I made it. It's a seasoning, da-da-da. And so they're swabbing the bag, and everything's fine. And finally she goes. And then the supervisor starts to leave, and the other screening guy who's assigned to this line starts to go, and she's like, where are you going? He goes, oh, I got to work the screen over there. And the guy in front of me, and our heads just about exploded. And she was like, no, you stay here and get their bags. So they checked the guy in front of me. He had, I forget what food group he had. He had some sort of food. But it was, you know, I think he had a salad too. Who are these healthy people? Who brings a salad on a plane? Eat a salad or buy a salad when you get through security. Who's bringing a salad from home?
I've got to have my favorite croutons.
Shut up. His bag takes a minute. And then, because now I've been muttering under my breath like a lunatic, like a guy that you would avoid at a bus stop. This is how angry I am. And doing my best not to get arrested and sent to federal prison.
Sure.
Finally, they come to my backpack. And there's not much in it. There was my, I squished up that little jacket I have, the folding down jacket. So that was in there. There was a baseball cap. There was, what I thought would have set it off was I have a Ziploc bag that had like three chargers rolled up in it. I'm like, all right, well, that might look like something. It's a bunch of wires and stuff.
Yeah.
They didn't care about that. It was, I had a small Ziploc bag that had about 8 pieces of Halloween candy in it and a cookie that Debbie had brought from work, a Halloween cookie that they had left over, like one of those Indian head cookies that we get at the Hawks game. But this was a ghost cookie.
Mm.
Yeah, so it sounds delicious.
Spooky.
Yeah, spooky and delicious. And yet, ooh, too spooky for TSA. They're rummaging through it. He's looking at the candy, and I'm like, seriously? A fun-sized Snickers bar is what set this off? Sir, we're doing heightened screening. A lot of heightened screening. You know, sometimes people have a lot of stuff in their bag, and we can't really tell what it is. And I'm like, this is a backpack that has almost nothing in it. A GQ magazine. It had a flat molly.
Oh,
flat molly set it off.
Dude, this
it
is
was
not
insanity.
What freedom looks like. This is not what freedom looks like. I don't care what anybody says about, oh, it keeps us safe and all that. Go to any other country. I went to Europe 3 times in the last year. Every single country I went to, didn't matter, Germany, Austria, England,
right.
Ireland I flew in and out of, Madrid, Switzerland.
Yes.
Every single country I've been to has been a delight at the airport.
Right.
I have never dealt with security the way that the U.S. does. And how often do you hear about bombings all over the world?
Yes, all the time. And most of them are not happening on planes.
And if the argument is, well, you know, I don't even know what the argument
is. Don't you want to be safe? Isn't it better to be safe?
No.
Yes, but my Snickers bar, and I said something about the candy. And he's like, well, you know, you could mold bad things into the shape of a candy bar. I'm like, yeah, I guess I could. But how many bombings have happened because the Snickers bomber got on a flight?
And then people are like, oh, well, you know, them at least being there is a deterrent for people. Like, really? Is
no,
it?
No, Now I want it. No, I'm not kidding. I'm not even saying it. Not even going to finish the
sentence. Not even going to finish
that
joke.
Not even
going
to finish
yeah.
what I'm molding into a Snickers bar.
No, the only thing I want to do is just never have to go through security. I did get the TSA pre-check.
Was it worth it?
Yes.
Somebody
for the love of God, yes.
We got somehow, coming back from New Orleans at 5 o'clock Monday morning, we were going through regular security, and then they were like, I'll go through the pre-check. So we got like bumped to pre-check.
My God.
And it was like, I don't have to take my shoes off. I don't have to take anything out. I just walk through. Yep. Just go on through.
This is a contentious point with me and Casey, because Casey thinks it's a waste of money, and she always insists it doesn't save you that much time. There were two airports that we went to, and it did take us about the same amount of time,
okay.
but only because they randomly chose me for an enhanced screening
yes.
one time, and the other time we were at the Colorado airport, and both of the lines were like a zillion miles long. And now, of course, the government or whoever is trying to privatize it with that Clear
yes.
app or whatever, you know, pay like $800 a month or whatever
Forget
to
it.
Go through an express line.
I don't travel
line.
That much.
I refuse to do it on principle
yeah.
of why the hell is our country just, you know, outsourcing this. Oh wait, this company wants to make money. Oh well, good. The CEO knows a government contract to
sure.
hire, so let's just give them all the, you know, all the rights. And
yeah,
then like,
why
make
the government agency better?
Yeah,
let's just give it to somebody else, and then we can wash our hands. And just like the red light cameras, when things go completely horribly wrong, we go, well, it wasn't our fault. We, you know, we trusted this company, and they screwed you.
Yeah, it's like when the CTA moved to Ventra, and it cost
yeah.
the city what like $800 million
yes.
or something like that,
and the cards didn't work.
Some
and everything
stupid
was
company, Ventra, who I hate and is awful customer service, is now running everything and just making money for doing nothing, basically. Yeah. So I'm a very strong opponent of.
Listen, are you lax on security? Is that the position you're taking, that you don't care about America's security? You
Dude,
don't want to make this country strong
the
and safe.
The TSA pre-check. I mean, the biggest honor is just not having to take your shoes off.
Yes,
and it's just like I don't want to strip off half my clothing. And it's just so I got this Swiss Army card. I gave you one,
yes,
right?
Yes, yeah, yeah.
Right. So there's a Swiss Army knife company or whatever makes a card. So you stick it in your wallet. It's like the size of a credit card. It's got a little pair of scissors in there, little pen, little nail file, all these little tools.
I know. It's in my briefcase.
Right. I use this little pair of scissors in it all the time. Pull it out of my wallet and all
to
that
hijack
stuff.
A plane?
So right.
All right.
Yeah, little tiny half inch pair of scissors. Yep, that's how they get
you. It's like give you a paper cut.
Yeah, right. So there's
take me to Brazil.
There's
Shut
a
up.
Small inch and a half long letter opener in mm-hmm. there also. And I went through TSA pre-check one time and put it in my bag. All that was good. I flew to, I think it was Denver or something. On the way back, something happened with the ticketing, and we ended up not in TSA pre-check. So I go through the regular screening. They take out the wallet. They're like, oh, sorry, sir, you got to take this out of your wallet. They made me throw away the blade.
Oh,
the quote-unquote blade.
The
it's
blade.
An inch and a half letter opener, and it's not TSA guidelines. Like, yeah, I'm gonna hijack
right.
something with this.
You are.
That's what's going to happen.
You're sketchy. I profiled you already.
I know.
This was after, this was the whole bag scenario was after I walked through the x-ray machine, and I had my hands up and everything's out of my pockets. And they still pulled me over to scan me around my ankles and my knees. Oh, you got a lot of metal in there? No, I have no metal in there.
You feel like you're in a third world country.
Right. I'm like, well, sometimes when your, jeans ball up a little, because, everybody's got a little gathering of your jeans down by your ankles.
Yeah.
Sometimes that'll set it off. What?
Oh, dude, my cargo
my
pants.
Jeans?
I wear cargo pants in the summer so I can carry on my diabetes stuff
yes.
and everything. I always wear cargo shorts because I need the extra space
sure.
to carry stuff. Every time I wear cargo shorts, it sets it off.
Yeah.
I don't know why. They can't look through folds.
I guess not.
Then what's the point?
Extra pockets. Why you have extra pockets?
Science,
you're obviously a criminal.
Science has already shown the TSA is totally useless.
There was just something on the news last night about all the stuff they're missing. So, listen, I will say, one, I did not mold explosives into the shape of the Halloween candy. Two, the Halloween candy finally was cleared. But by then, I don't have time for my leisurely... I have, as you can imagine, I have rituals before a flight.
I can imagine.
Certain times I have to go to the bathroom. We usually have a little dinner because it was like, now it's... Well, now it was... 6 o'clock by the time we finally got through security. But, we figured that time we'd have a little dinner at the airport and then get on the plane and everything would be fine. Oh, everything was rushed. My whole schedule was off. My pre-flight visit was cut terribly short. So everything was wrong.
Well, this turned into a much angrier podcast than I anticipated.
Well, me too. I think we blame Flat Molly for that. She took us down a road.
You're
feeling itchy because you're wearing your wedding ring, mm-hmm. an outward symbol of your love and unity for your new wife. Mm-hmm. That's making you antsy and itchy.
Mm-hmm.
Then Flat Molly, then enhanced screening, then your hatred for Ventura and the TSA.
So much hatred.
There is a lot of hatred. And yet, we're all about love here at the show.
We sure are.
All about love. You have to go. We have to. This normally, we tell you it's a short one. Tonight, relatively short, only about an hour,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
It's not bad. Thank you for listening to the podcast. We appreciate all the feedback. You can always send us feedback via Facebook, Twitter. It's a Brian Noonan Show or producer Cody. You can get a hold of us through WGNradio.com. Listen to the podcast all the time. Tell your friends because, listen, this is wild. You're not going to get this on terrestrial radio.
Now, we're on terrestrial radio the next 2 weeks.
It's going to be very exciting. So the 19th and the 26th.
Of November are our last two terrestrial shows of 2017.
I know.
So you can expect podcasts all of December.
And January.
And, yeah, a lot of January.
Most of January.
So, yeah.
So there'll probably be a Christmas. Are we going to do a big holiday podcast again?
Probably.
Maybe.
A holiday spectacular.
We like to do
not.
It. Yeah, we did one last year. Season 2.
If I can fit it in my schedule.
This is season 3. I'm going to be here a lot, so you can just come out by. Yeah, so keep in touch with us through all the mediums. Thank you, Cody. Always a pleasure.
Of course.
So follow Cody. Follow me. Follow Flat Molly.
Follow me down. Oh, you should make like a Twitter account for it.
Oh, I should. Flat Molly should have an Instagram
account. Too much effort. Too much, way too much effort.
And then all I'll get is yelled at and then liked. It's like, she's like the abusive spouse. hit me, then love me.
All right, I'm going to
enjoy it.
All right,
we got to go.
We got to go.
Bye.